When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Right, so we're back again, off the back of a good league win at Norwich at the weekend. What were your thoughts on that, Rob?
Yeah, it was good. Watched it in one of the bars on Saturday night. Thought we played well. I thought it was exactly the response we wanted after the Burnley and Preston game. I said in the last podcast, so probably couldn't hear it. Like, it was probably about the first bit where the sound was absolutely awful because I was out here. But I said, like, I want us to, like, kick people. I want us to be a bit more in your face. And we again suggested that we might be too nice. But yeah. On Saturday, it was a completely different story. We would look. It doesn't really have to be, like, a hard foul. You don't have to, like, go and boots one in air. But it's, like, little niggly fouls. Like, if they do break the line, just take someone down at halfway line, but tug the shirt, just do something. And I think Buckley gave us that in the middle on Saturday. Just... because at the end of the day, you can wear a free kick on the halfway line. I think our back five are tall enough and strong enough to deal with any balls pumped into the box. You can give away free kicks on the halfway line. It's like in and around the box, you don't want to give away free kicks. If they pass it into midfielder on the centre circle, you can just get away with like a little foul from behind that you're not going to get booked for. But it just interrupts them and disrupts them and slows the game down, especially that like a good 2-3 minutes of possession.
Yeah,
it was a good performance.
Yeah, I thought we played really well. I was shocked really by how poor Norwich were, though. I mean, I think at half time, on the coverage they usually show, like chances that both sides have had, and they were really scraping the barrel for Norwich.
Yeah,
I know we kind of neutralised them by how we were playing a bit, but they were really poor, I thought.
Yeah, I think the Norwich fans. I mean, they have every right to be mad, but I think it made it even harder for their own team. Right, but they were slow, they were laboured. I mean, we play that a number of times this season where the centre backs just pass it side to side and back to the keeper, and it is frustrating at times. I think, especially when you're at home, you want to see your team up front foot, but I think the Norwich side, is it that good? Right, is it that? I mean, I think the Championship Chat podcast mentioned it, that they've got quite an old team now. Although they're experienced players, they've probably only got Josh Sargent. It's like a young, up-and-coming player where the rest of them are all hitting like the 30s, like coming towards the end of their careers, really. I know they've got that Max Aaron's at right back, but I don't think he did much on Saturday. And ever since he got linked to Real Madrid and Barcelona and United, I don't think he's done much either for Norwich. So I don't want to say like the fans made it. That made the game hard for them. Didn't help themselves from the beginning. But I think he'll be one of the managers that needs a result in the upcoming week before long.
Do you think he will turn it around? Because, I mean, there was a lot of frustration directed towards him at half-time and at full-time as well.
I think once you get to that point, it's hard to turn it around.
Yeah.
Once you get to the fan, your own fans booing you and singing, like, Dean Smith, your football is shit, and Dean Smith, like singing sacks in the morning and stuff. Once you get to that point, it's
almost irretrievable, isn't it? Unless it pulls off an amazing string of results.
Yeah, you'd have to get 10, 15 wins in a row to catch up to the top two. Because the 12 points off the top now, 9 points off Sheffield United in second.
And even for us, it feels like the top two are like beginning to pull away.
So you need 10 wins in a row to get you 30 points, but you also need them to drop 9 points, 12 points in them 10 games, and at the minute, it just doesn't look like that's going to happen. I can't see him changing, but did he go back too far? Did he get another manager in? It just seemed, I think, a couple of seasons in Championship are doing good, because at the minute, getting promoted, being able to get it's just, them players are used to, like, probably still being played Premier League wages, They're probably used to getting beat every week when they're in Premier League. So when they come down to Championship, have to change the mentality. So we should win every game. Yeah. It's completely different. And how do you like to set up a team to win every week in Championship and then go up in Premiership and defend for 80 minutes and try and snatch a goal, can't they? It's hard. Yeah, you're having to change philosophies every summer.
Anyway, that's enough about how bad they were. A good night for us. Anyway, so yeah, that was good. And then the Cup last night, getting knocked out by Nottingham Forest 4-1 at Ewood. We've got differing opinions on this, haven't we?
Yeah.
So
I didn't actually get to see the game. I mean, had United last night, Celtic were playing, Coventry were playing West Brom in the league. So to ask for Blackburn on the telly in one of the bars was quite a rich ask, considering how many United and Celtic fans are here. So I just followed the coverage on Twitter and liked live and stuff. I didn't actually get to see the game. Obviously, you never want to get beat. But considering we made 11 changes and they only made 4 for the last competitive game, they spent a lot of money in the summer. I think the scoreline flattered them as well, from what I've heard.
It definitely did.
I text you at 1-1 saying it was a good time to score, good first half, and then straight after our time they get a double deflected free kick that goes in bottom corner. And then I think someone said the third goal was like a bad decision from the referee. And I think when you set up to defend and not concede, when you concede when it's not your fault or through a deflection or it knocks the wind out of you straight away.
The third goal, what it was, Dolan was dribbling towards goal. He was just outside the area and he ran into a Forest defender and went down. And pretty much everyone in the Blackburn was up in arms. Like it was definitely. I actually think it were a free kick. I don't think it were. But anyway, they went up the other end and made it 3-1. So yeah, but like you say, I mean, a penalty, a deflected free kick.
It's the fourth one's a late goal. You've got a lot of quality in the team. But I think it's good experience for us. We've played 4 games in the Cup, 2 against Premier League opposition. We've played players that wouldn't normally play a game all season. So obviously we'll give a lot of debuts to people. The average age of the players that are coming in the Cup games is quite low. People like Phillips playing a lot of games at 17. If we'd have been knocked out in the first round and knocked out in the first round at FA Cup, when we played that in January, he's limited to 2 games a season because without them games, I don't think he makes his way into the first team. But so I think it is a good thing and stands in good stead for the future. It's progress today. It's the first time we've got to the fourth round in God knows how many years. I think if we'd have won last night, it was the first time in 11 years we've got to the quarter final. So it is progress. But it's just good for the other lads to get a run out. Like I said, it would have gone out in September or August in the first round, like we have been doing in recent years. Then players don't kick a ball till the third round of FA Cup in January. So what's the point?
I was disappointed, I can't lie. I think going into the game, you were looking at it and thinking that's a very winnable, although it is against Premier League side, that's a very winnable game and a great chance to get into a quarter final. And last night, when team news came out and he made 11 changes, I was like, he shouldn't have made 11 changes. Moeller at left back. That was an absolute disaster.
On the lads who won the game against West Ham, though, to go and put the first team in against Forest, they've earned the right to play in the next round of the Cup.
It's a good point, but I feel like you've just got to realise how good an opportunity you've got. I also understand the argument of, fresh legs for Boxing Day, but at the same time, it's there's still 5 days in between those 2 games. And we've only just come back from a 4-week break from the World Cup, so
We have come back from a break, but we got a good win on Saturday. I think the majority of it, I think, was only Dak and thingy that weren't unused last night. Obviously, we're going to be travelling on Christmas Day, and staying over because we've got the early kickoff on Boxing Day. It's like a long way to travel up in the morning. I think they're just giving time off to some players, go and get rested. It's one of them, isn't it? On another night, I think 1-1 at half time. If you go out in the second half and you go a goal up with a deflected free kick and you hang on, like people say it was a winnable game and we could have won it, but and like 4-1 looks really bad. But I mean, a 1-1 at half time and we're still well within the game. I know the stats look like they absolutely battered us, and they probably did. But you expect that in the cup games, or you expect the bigger team to come and batter you. So, but I don't know. On another time, we'd have won that game.
I feel like when it was 1-1 at half time, like it maybe made his subs too late. You know, I mean, like he waited till the 87th minute. I think it was to bring on Diaz. You know,
they brought on Eden at half time, which did more than a world of good because I think he had a torrid time. Yeah,
he couldn't wait to get off. I don't think. Johnson, who was Forest man at match for me, he tore him a new one down that left hand side for overs.
Difficult as well because he's not had a good run of games to like be match fit and stuff, and then to come up against such a young, talented player who's just played at a World Cup. Did he play at the World Cup? He did, didn't he?
I think so. Yeah.
In a couple of games, like just played at World Cup, and you're on like what, the first game in months to play up against him on the wing is. It's tough. It's a very hard injury for him. A lot of people have written him off already, and a lot of people have written the majority of the lone players we've got off already. So we'll just have to see what happens in January.
I think there were two concerning things, or kind of two in one, really, for me last night as well, were Travis and Scott Wharton's performances. I think they're in really poor runs at the minute. They're both in a bit of a rut.
I think they could do with like a spell not in the team. Whether they are annoyed that they got dropped on Saturday, we hire Ayala playing centre back and Buckley and Morton playing centre mid, and they're just not like low on confidence of being left out of the team. I don't know, but at such a like crucial time of the season, you can't be bringing in players that are going to have 5 and 6 out of 10. Like you need everyone to be 7 out of 10s, especially away from home. You can't have someone slacking because it's hard enough to do your own job as it is without picking up the shit from someone else not performing.
Yeah. The World Cup final on Sunday. That was an occasion, wasn't it?
I was rough on Sunday.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Even Saturday night after the win.
Well, I thought with your comments and your messages to me and on Twitter, I was like, yeah, he's had a few, hasn't he?
I was absolutely steaming. I can't remember half at night, and then my Rebecca's dad's got a video of me dancing in one of the bars, and I'm just like, it's so embarrassing. So cringy. But yeah, I managed to watch the World Cup final from the apartment bed with a McDonald's. But yeah, it was good. I think probably one of the best, I say the best ever World Cup finals, but I mean, the first 80 minutes was shit.
Yeah, until, that's what I said after the game, like the first 75 minutes. Like the first half of the second half, I was almost dropping asleep. Like, oh, it's done this. I think everyone thought, oh, 2-0, it's done. The game was flat, wasn't it? It was dead.
Even Argentina thought that. I think that's what allowed France back into the game. I think they just thought, keep possession and that's it.
Yeah.
Obviously, Mbappe scores the penalty and then scores an absolute worldie straight after. And then you think, game on, and then in extra time Messi scores later on and you think, oh my god, it's done again. And then obviously the handball later on, to have the nerves to like, I think the referee did really well, throughout the whole final. Yeah, but
he had a really good game,
But to give that decision and get it right in the last minute of a World Cup final, it's such a major... Because, obviously, I think the majority of people watching, like, if you're a neutral, wanted Argentina to win it for Messi. And I bet, like, if you're a football fan, you probably want Argentina to win. For, like, the story of Messi finally winning the World Cup. And I think even that doesn't... Like, the referee doesn't miss that. The referee doesn't, like... The referee has them feelings as well. You're probably thinking, oh my God, what a moment to be part of.
Yeah.
And then to have to make a decision in the last minute like that, where he could easily have let that go to VAR to get it like spot on and give it like, such confidence. He had a really good performance.
I think, like, is it Simon Jordan on TalkSport?
Yeah.
He was saying how, like, he doesn't understand. Like England fans like wanting like Messi to win because of like the whole rivalry between like England and Argentina and the Falklands and all that. And I was saying to mates the other day, like for us, like for like my generation, he's been like the best, like for as long as we've known. Like I think like every generation has that best player. So like it was like R9 like before him really. Like, you got your Zidanes and your Maradona before that and. So he's been like, oh, I bet, and like we've grown up with him being the best, like in that incredible boys team that Pep managed. So, yeah, I was buzzing to see him win it personally on Sunday.
Yeah, so was I. I didn't like the penalty shootout. Although Martinez is good at penalties, and he apparently everyone praises him for his mind game, but I just think I don't know the rules around penalty shootouts because I don't know. He got booked for one of them.
But
what happens if he gets booked? Then, oh, he's sub a goalkeeper on. There's one of the outfield players going on. I don't know how does it work. Like, is he just booking him because he's booking him? Or is he booking him because legitimately something can happen?
Yeah.
It should be you save the penalty and you go back to the position. None of this grabbing the ball and throwing it. And I know that players should still... be out there, man, with their mind games, be able to score from 12 yards out. But I just think, like, it's an unfair advantage towards the goalkeeper if you're able to do that. It's like the player running up with a ball and volleying it into the net and then taking his penalty or volleying it at the keeper, like, straight his face. Yeah. So he saves it and then, oh, I'm going to take a penalty now. Like, you're like, oh, that was bang out of order.
Yeah, he's a character, though, like the dancing after he made that save. Did he save that one? Did it go wide? Is that the one that went
wide? He saved one, then he dragged one line, didn't he?
Yeah. But yeah, the dancing, and then when he was given the golden glove.
Like, water's gone through his head. What is he?
In Qatar as well. Of all places. Yeah.
But it's like the picture of the guy, like the guy behind him was looking at him, and he was like... but yeah. I mean, I didn't think he'd get the golden glove. Someone said it was decided before the final, which doesn't... makes sense.
Well, what about the save he made in extra time in the last minute?
That was unbelievable.
That.
Great. I think that's like the thing that probably won him for it. I mean, he should be scoring. The striker should be scoring realistically.
Yeah. Like, it's full stretch and it's good save.
But it should have been disallowed because there are about 18 France players on pitch waiting for balls to come in.
I think that was the same for Messi's goal in extra time. The Argentina players are just like waiting to sprint on. Like three or four players already on the pitch.
Well, they saw Martinez go through one-on-one and they all started getting excited, which I don't know why, because honestly, he does not deserve a World Cup medal, Lautaro Martinez. He had an absolute stinker of a tournament. Messi could have got 22 assists this World Cup. He could have broke every record ever if Martinez... The header in the last minute of the World Cup final, the one where like he's a free header 6 yards out, it goes about 8 yards.
Was that the last chance, wasn't it?
It's like it's harder to hit it where it hits it than it is to hit it on target.
Yeah. I were laughing like, me like, at like Peter Drury's commentary on it because you know like Peter Drury is like the Shakespeare of commentators. Like you could just tell he was waiting for it to go in and for him to have like his biggest moment ever, and he was screaming his name, Lautaro Martin.
No. Shakespeare commentary. I thought that was John Hartson. United on scratch.
Well, for Di Maria's goal, the second Argentina goal, Peter yeah. Drew did this whole like thing about like Home Alone and like McAllister and all this. And Lee Dixon's on yeah. ITV like, it's got finished by Di Maria that.
Well, I watched the first half on BBC where it was thinking Jermaine Genius, and that eventually swapped over to ITV to it was Dixon, McAllister and Drury, weren't it?
Yeah.
But Lee Dixon, like you said, Lee Dixon, yeah, finish that lad. Peter Drew's coming out with a big gospel verse. He's like, yeah. Finish, willing. The trophy ceremony was weird though. I didn't like, so Mbappe got given the golden boot and he's like walking through just he has to take pictures with Martinez, who's just like wound him up for an hour straight.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't
it? It seems to take ages as well, because yeah. I'm like, so the final whistle went and I was like, right, I'll lift trophy in 5 minutes, I'll go down and like go get some food. So like, right, 20 minutes goes by, like, yeah, the stage, like they built stage, what's going on?
Sat there ready for bed, like still going on.
What the hell's going on here? Eventually Mbappe goes up for golden boot and he's not, and he has to like take a picture in front of that little slogan thing. Martinez goes up, does his little glove thing, and then that Hernandez gets the silver ball, is it, young player of the tournament.
Yeah.
And then, which I thought was harsh on some of the players that were there, like Javi, Pedri, Bellingham. Some of the, I mean, we don't really get to see like the procedure of like who's deciding it. Like, I'd like to, like, if they had like an award ceremony the night after the World Cup finishes, where they did like nominees and then like they yeah. had four nominees and then announced the winner, that'd be better.
Or if there was like a fans player as well.
Yeah, mm. yeah, and then Messi gets his golden ball, and then they all come up for the medals and the trophy. And then he put the is it, what's it called? Is it a sheet that he put on Messi yeah. to lift the trophy with him? Which obviously a lot of people have argued about it on Twitter this week.
It's I don't mind.
I mean, if you've played a whole tournament in that shirt, you should lift the trophy in that shirt. I don't mind people giving it after or giving the whole squad it, like to go around the pitch to celebrate with it, but to like, he's waited his whole life that moment to wear a trophy and to have the Argentina badge and his number covered up by someone. But I just think that's
yeah,
shit, shit.
Mm.
Like, it wouldn't happen. I mean, what are you going to do in USA in 2026? Give someone a cowboy hat and belt buckle. Like, I was trying to think, like, what do we give people in other World Cups? Like, England 66, like a Birmingham flat cap that we blades at
front. I ordered at Peaky, bro.
Yeah. But yeah, it was a good World Cup. I enjoyed the whole World Cup.
Yeah, it was a really good final. I mean, so often, like, you see like those occasions be like stifled by, you know, and the game's like a bit of a struggle. But yeah, brilliant entertainment.
Yeah.
So Boxing Day now, Sunderland.
Yeah. Sunderland away.
I was looking at Rovers' record on Boxing Day in a bit of research last night. It is atrocious. It's really bad. We've just won once on Boxing Day since we beat Liverpool in 2006. And that was Rochdale in League One.
Oh, my God.
Rochdale 2-0 at Ewood. I mean, obviously, some years we haven't had games on Boxing Day. Like some have been possibly like Middlesbrough. Got postponed due to the flooding, didn't it, that year. And last year, obviously, Hull.
Yeah,
we don't want to talk about that.
Still, that's a bad record.
It's poor, really.
But did we not have this at the start of the season where we had it won in our opening game for so many years, and then obviously we did it this year under Thomason? We had a similar record, really poor, weren't it?
It was last season, weren't it, when we beat Swansea? It was like the first opening day win for like 11 years, I think.
Well, it's a season of breaking old ducks and records like that. So. We'll hopefully win on Monday, maybe Monday, because there's something in it.
Yeah. It's that time of year now, so, lose track of old days.
Yeah, definitely, especially when you're on holiday. It's Thursday today and it'll fly on tomorrow, so flying off for Christmas. If we get a bag, I mean, we're supposed to be, we'll probably be stuck at Manchester for ages trying to get through border control, but we'll see what happens. But yeah. We are officially halfway through the season.
Yeah. 23 games.
23 games played. How do you think the first half's gone so far?
Overall, pleased.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I think there's not too much that you can have a go at. I think obviously the main criticism would be the Derby performances. I think it's tough to kind of deal with that elephant in the room and kind of sweep that under the carpet. It's unavoidable, really, and it's something that definitely needs to be improved on in the second half of the season. But considering all the circumstances, I think to be third in the league at this point is a good achievement.
Yeah, I think to be halfway through and no team has won more games than us is obviously the positive. Yeah. But the glaring negative is only the bottom five and Reading have lost more games than us.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you turned even half of them losses into draws, we'd be level on points with Sheffield United. So, that's their record. They're 13-5-5, we're 13-0-10. So, it's just changing a few of them losses into draws and then keeping the wins. And we should have drawn already. You look at the last minute penalty against Cardiff. I think someone more experienced takes that penalty and scores it. That's our first draw, one less loss.
Yeah.
So just little frustrating things like that. Yeah. But still 5 points off Preston in seventh, who are just outside the playoffs, and then 5 points off Sheffield United. It's not bad. I mean, people are saying that Burnley and Sheffield United are running away with it now, but 5 points isn't a lot in the Championship.
No.
And they just need to go on a spell where they don't win for 5-6 games like they have done already this season. And we've still got to play a lot of the teams in the top six at home. So we've got QPR, who we will play them away the second half of the season. Still to play Norwich at home, who just beat. We'll play Watford away later on in the season, but the top two, we've still got them to play at home. So we carry on with a good home form in the league. And just hope and pray this carries on and we don't have another second half of the season slump like we usually do.
I think I don't think we will have a slump, to be honest. I think barring any major injuries, I think we will finish in the top six. But I can't see us going up through the playoff, because people might not like this, but I don't trust this team in a high pressure environment.
Yeah, one off game. Yeah, I know what you mean. So I'm looking at Leeds to see who I think who could possibly sneak in there. I think Burnley and Sheffield United, if they don't finish top two, will definitely finish in the playoffs. I think we'll finish in the playoffs. I think Watford now with Billich doing really well, so I think they'll finish up there. Norwich and QPR seem to be slipping in and coming out, coming back every other week.
Preston, that'd be something. Wouldn't Rovers Preston in playoffs?
No, I don't think Preston will probably be in the playoffs with five games to go and finish 10. They'll probably just bottle it.
Yeah.
Coventry, they've got a 5-point deduction now, haven't they?
Have they? They don't actually know that.
Yeah. For the games that were disallowed early in the season for the stadium, I think they've agreed to a fine and payments to the three of the clubs that they spawned against and a 5-point deduction. I think that'll put them down to, which is mad, it'll put them down to 18. With that, I mean they're on 33 now, so only 1 point outside QPR in six. But they'll move down to 28, which will be 4 points off relegation in Blackpool.
It's a blow, but at the same time, it's not a season ender. Just because of the way, because of how long there is to go and the way the Championship is, you can retrieve that. I think they will. I'm not sure about whether they'll finish in the top six, but I think they'll be fighting for it come March, April time.
Yeah. And then you've got Birmingham around the. If they get in the playoffs, I don't think they'll be strong enough to go Millwall, Swansea, Reading, Sunderland, Borough. If Borough carry on with Carrick, they might sneak in there. But I think the top six, as it is, I think it's how it will finish. Probably not in that order. I think Watford might challenge Sheffield United for second.
Yeah.
Norwich, I don't know. It's Norwich and QPR that I think will be the ones that will be in and out as the season comes to an end. And I just hope that we're up and in there. I would like to be like, I'd like to finish third and be comfortable by the time it comes to end the season. So the team, it finishes six. It'd be like battling with another team. Like if Preston managed to sneak in six, won't mind us playoff semi-final against Preston. But we'll see. We'll see what happens in the second half of the season. It all depends on what happens in January as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. We need to get some players in. We need some more cover. And I think some players need to go, realistically.
Yeah, we need a big window. But I think... Didn't Waggett say when the summer window shut that January wouldn't really be that big a window for us? But it needs to be, really. So something's got to give, I suppose.
I think with Rovers, it all depends on who they get out. So he's listed four players on loan, hasn't he? So Pers is going to loan list. Joe Rank and Costello, which I thought was harsh after I watched it on Saturday.
Maybe he'll reconsider that after.
Yeah. Has he put Eden and someone else? One other. But then you've got to look at the loans we've already got in, like Hurst and Mahler. Is it time to cut our losses and just get rid of them and try and get another?
Hurst got a lot of stick after the game last night, but I think he looked, although he didn't really do anything that significant, he did look a lot sharper. And a lot stronger as well. So I'd like to see him be given a bit more time yet.
I just think if you're going to use a loan space in the Championship to get a striker in, I think that striker has to get you 10, 15 goals to be worth it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, for him to get 10, 15 goals now to end the season is going to be a massive order. I think we need like a prolific. Not prolific, he's going to be a young person, but like an actual goal scorer from a Premiership team. I just don't know who that would be. Do you want to go through the Championship results? All right, so starting off the game that we had to watch last night, Coventry 1, West Brom 0, 93rd minute, Jacare's winner. He's going to be key for Coventry if they keep him in January, or if they let him go. I think if they let him go, I think that's their playoff hopes done, especially with a 5-point deduction. West Brom, it's the first loss in seven. Like, Cole Run's doing well there. I think they could be like an outside shout for the playoffs with the results we've had recently. But we'll get onto that later on as well. Wigan 1, Sheffield United 2. Wigan deserved more. I thought they played well. Sheffield United, one of the players handled the ball on the goal line and refs did give out.
That was on Sky, that one, weren't it? I was watching the darts on the other side, so I didn't watch that.
The ball comes across, he volleys it, and he like turns his back on, like, puts his hands aside, hits him. Refs were playoff. And then Wigan scored after that. So they should have been down to 10 men and had a penalty conceded as well. But AFL referees just shocking again. But there was one where Sheffield United's defender had his shirt took off him at a corner. So like someone's pulling his shirt and he's backed off, and his lips have come out, and like he's like running around the pitch with his shirt off. And all Wigan fans are like, "What the hell's going on?"
Yeah, I saw it on Sky Sports News.
Norwich 0, Blackburn 2, obviously. Bristol City 1, Stoke 2. Bristol City could be in danger. They're only like, what are they? 3 points off Blackburn relegation places. They're not in great form. That could be an interesting end to the season for them. Big win for Stoke though. Burnley 3, Middlesbrough 1. Burnley made a lot of mistakes at the back. Did you see Conor Roberts' red card for Burnley.
No.
So it hit, so like the ball's like looping over the keeper like into net, and he goes to like handle it away, and it hits the crossbar. He doesn't even handball it, but ref give a penalty and sent him off anyway.
For the 30 attempts.
Well, I don't know if it's for the attempt. I think the referee might have thought he handballs it because it's like perfectly hitting the bar. But I don't know if it's like, can you send someone off because he attempted to handball it? Bit of a dodgy one. Cardiff 1, Blackpool 1, two awful teams. Coventry 3, Swansea 3. Coventry were 3-0 up, and then Swansea, that's no winning seven games for them now. Like, again, like we thought when they came up to like fifth or sixth with us, that Russell Martin had actually managed to sort it out, but they just drifted away again. Huddersfield 0, Watford 2, Watford 4th, Huddersfield 7 points adrift now. I know I've said it all season, they're down, but people finally started to agree with me.
Maybe.
Hull 1, Sunderland 1. Hull missed the penalty and got a late equaliser. Sunderland, they've got Stewart back, he's going to start scoring now. We've got to stop him on Monday to have any chance of winning. Preston 0, QPR 1. QPR's first win in seven games, and Preston just such a strange team. Like, to be in such good form off the back of a 4-1 win at Ewood and then get beat off a team that's not winning seven games. Like, it just does at home. They just don't make sense at all. West Brom 3, Rotherham 0. Rotherham are in trouble. And I put West Brom, is the form deceiving? So they've won like the last six before getting beat off Coventry last night. But five of them are against teams in the bottom six or seven. And then the other one was against QPR, obviously had that horrible run of games after Beale left. Yeah, so all their wins were against teams in the bottom five or six. And they beat QPR whilst they're in that bad form as well. So, and then Birmingham 3, Reading 2. Reading with 3-0 down, but good season for Birmingham so far. I think it's been only 2 points off the playoffs halfway through. It's a lot better than what the fans expected at the start of the season. So, and that is it. The Championship results. We'll see everyone on Boxing Day.
Yeah, hopefully we'll get something on Boxing Day at Sunderland. I can't see it, but but yeah, hopefully we'll get something there.
Yeah. Have a Merry Christmas, everyone.
Yeah. Thanks for listening to the podcast in the first half of the season. We've got big plans for when Rob gets back off holiday.
I want to go
on. So onwards and upwards for both Rovers and the podcast, hopefully in 2023.
Merry Christmas and Merry Happy Christmas. New Year.
I mean, we'll be back for New Year, so but yeah.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
I'll see you in a bit.
Yeah, see you in a bit.
Podcast Network.